In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thanks for joining us and happy Friday, friends.
Happy Friday.
Brian's voice is not great
right now.
I'm
on day four of the bronchitis party pack, so I'm raring to go.
Let's meet the crew. I'm Brett Molina. I play video games. And my favorite magic word is hocus pocus, largely because it rhymes.
I'm Brian Truitt. I watch movies. And my favorite magic word is expecto patronum, because I like conjuring light up animals. Because what is more fun than that?
Who doesn't really?
Who doesn't really?
If this is your first time listening to us, welcome. New episodes of The Mothership drop every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you like to listen. And while you're on Apple Podcasts, it would be great if you could write a quick review about the show, because abracadabra, you'll help other fans find our show. And as a thank you, we'll give you a special shout out. We don't have a new review this week, but we do have an update from WVU Mush, who confirms that, yes, they did go to West Virginia University. So shout out to all the Mountaineers who are listening to the pod. There you go. So again, try it out. It's all upside for you guys. You get a shout out on the episode and we get some great feedback. So everybody wins. Don't forget, along with leaving a review, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at Mothership Pod, or you can email us to mothershippod at usatoday.com. Let's start this week with a clip.
Bailey Batson, I choose you as champion. Say my name so my powers may flow through you.
But I don't know your name, sir.
Shazam.
Wait, for real?
Say it!
Okay! Shazam?
This means Billy!
What is happening?
You're the only person I know that knows anything about this Caped Crusader stuff.
Can I?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's crazy, right?
What are your superpowers?
Superpowers, dude? I don't even know how to pee in this thing.
AM to the BM, BM to the AM.
You have super strength. BM, you just got. Can you fly?
If I quit your BM, I still rock Mercedes. If I quit this season, I still be the greatest.
You okay? Why are you talking?
Gentlemen! That ain't right.
You have bullet immunity!
I'm bulletproof.
You're dead.
That was from the new movie Shazam, the latest entry to the expanding DC universe, starring Asher Angel, who stars as a 14-year-old foster kid who's bestowed magical powers by a wizard when he says the magic word Shazam. It's out in theaters today. Old school comic nerds might know him better as Captain Marvel, but thanks to a bunch of issues with copyright and other boring stuff, that is now Brie Larson in a whole other movie in a whole other cinematic universe.
It is fun, though, that within like a month of each other, the Captains Marvel both have a movie.
It is pretty wild. It is really wild.
Yeah, and go on. Actually, I think it's probably on Alamo Drafthouse's Twitter. I mean, they got like 50 million Twitters. But they have like a cool video of like explaining the whole thing about, you know, Captain Marvel, Shazam, between those two characters. It's really fascinating.
Oh, awesome. Brian has seen Shazam. We're going to chat about that. We also have a trailer that recently dropped for another DC property. It was the first footage of the Joker, which is a gritty take on the villain, classic Batman villain starring Joaquin Phoenix. There's a lot to talk about with the DC universe and all their films. I mean, could they kind of be making a little bit of a rebound here? I don't know. Let's start with Shazam, though. Brian, what did you think of it?
I really, really liked it. I think it's now like the second best DC movie of the, like, you know, kind of this universe thing. It's really fun. I mean, I think, you know, I go back to Spider-Man Homecoming now. It's kind of like the go-to for like a family-friendly, like something for more for kids, You know, it's not so like Avengers is really heavy and dark, and Guardians of the Galaxy is pretty fun, but like, you know, it's a bunch of adults and, you know, aliens and stuff running around. Whereas Spider-Man, it was, you know, it was a teenager in high school just trying to get through the day. And that's Shazam. I mean, it's a foster kid. You know, Asher Angel plays Billy Batson. Billy Batson, you know, lost his mom like years ago at a carnival, has never found her since. You know, he spent like years kind of bouncing around the foster system, you know, wanting to find her, but never really finding a home. And he finally finds kind of this foster family, and, you know, kind of, he doesn't really quite fit in, but they're really loving. I mean, like really, really loving. So he kind of plays it cool and everything. And he helps out his new disabled foster brother, Freddie. He's played by Jack Dylan Grazer from It. And he helped, you know, he's getting bullied and he beats up the bullies. And that puts him on the radar of the wizard Shazam, played by Jaiman Hunsu. He needs a champion to take on like the seven deadly sins because, you know, the wizard's dying. He needs a champion. And so he spent years trying to find, you know, the right champion to do this. He's getting desperate. So he, you know, Billy Batson's like, okay, well, you're as good as anybody. So Billy says the magic word Shazam and turns into kind of buff Zachary Levi. It's interesting because it's, you know, the whole thing's like Big meets Superman. Cause it's, you know, it's a 14-year-old and, you know, a super body. And he's trying to figure out, you know, how to use his powers. You know, he goes to buy beer with Freddy, you know, and they bust up a hold up. And, you know, they become viral sensations because, you know, of course, when you're, you know, a 14-year-old in 2019, if you get superpowers, you're going to put it on YouTube. You know, come on. And, but it's probably the most earnest, kind of fun-loving version of this kind of superhero since Christopher Reeve Superman. I mean, it's like, it's that earnest and kind of wholesome and, you know, and it's a lot different than, you know, Aquaman and Suicide Squad and the last in Henry Cavill Superman and the Bad Fleck, Wonder Woman, and then Aquaman. And now this have the DC universe kind of going in a real fun direction and a different direction. They're not trying to be Marvel anymore. They're not being like, okay, well, let's go all in on Justice League. Everything's got to revolve around these kind of like 5 to 6 heroes. No, everything can like have its own corner of the universe and it doesn't have to like be interconnected. You know, there is connections to Superman and Batman and, you know, they exist in this world. You know, Freddie Freeman's like a big Superman fanboy. When he first meets Billy, he's like, are you a Batman guy? And superheroes are a part of this world, but they're peripheral and they're kind of like played for laughs more than anything. Anybody who grew up on like Gremlins or Goonies or things like that, they're going to like this movie adult-wise. And it's very much for kids. You know, there's a Christmas theme. There's some scary stuff, but it's not too scary. It's a nice kind of, you know, DC hasn't had that kind of, you know, this is a superhero film for kids, and now they have that.
I have to say I'm impressed with the feedback on this movie so far, because I still remember when the first images of Zachary Levi came out of him in the Shazam suit, and everybody was like panicking because it was like, it's like too cartoony, he looks too weird, and blah blah blah. And now that we've slowly seen more of it, it all seems to make more sense of, you know, how the costume fits in with the movie. It's also proof too that never trust these leaks as far as you can throw them, you know, until you see the final product. But anyway, that's for another discussion.
Well, and for sure. And I think this character first appeared in 1940.
Yeah.
And the fun thing is the character looks like he came from 1940, you know, kind of Zachary Levi has like kind of like this, you know, kind of, you know, gelled back hair, you know, bright red costume. I mean, he was called the Big Red Cheese in the comic books for a reason. Lightning bolt on his chest, kind of the big cape, a little hoodie on the back. You know, he looks like he just walked off a 1940 comic book page. And it's perfect because there's that, it's, you know, it's 2019, but yet, you know, this superhero looks like he is so, you know, kind of anachronistic to his surroundings. But it kind of fits in with everything because, you know, this kid doesn't know what he's doing as a superhero either. So, you know, there's a lot of like that push and pull all around. It was just it really works.
So what was your favorite elements of this movie? What's the stuff you really liked?
So
how is Zachary Levi as a superhero?
He's great. And I've always been a fan of his. I've been a fan of his since Chuck. And the fact of, like, I've always wondered why he has never been a franchise superhero. Because, I mean, you know, you look at Chris Evans now, and it's like he kind of grew into the mold of, like, Captain America of, like, you know, kind of this do-gooding, you know, righteous dude. And we've gotten to know kind of Chris Evans through that.
Chris Pratt, too.
Yeah. And I think Zachary Levi's always been, like, this big, good-hearted actor. You know, he's always been in the comic books. He, like, at Comic-Con, he's, like, you know, he's the god of those guys. But it's just like he's never really broke through in a movie. I mean, he was like in an Alvin and the Chipmunks movie at one point. You know, I was always surprised he never did more after Chuck. I mean, he was Fandral in, I think, two of the Thor movies, and then was like, I think he was killed in Infinity War, at the beginning of Infinity War. And, you know, being killed off a Marvel movie was the best thing that could happen to him. Because now he gets to be reborn as a DC superhero, and a really good DC superhero. And so that's fun. I think there's a whole vibe of, like, that Gremlins, Ghostbusters, supernatural 80s vibe, comedy vibe, that's undercurrent of this that really works for it. It's set at Christmas time, so it's interesting, kind of like, it's almost like a Christmas superhero movie in many ways. And also the Captain Marvel universe, a lot of people don't even know who Captain Marvel / Shazam even is. But there's a whole mythology with that. You know, kind of, there's a monster society of evil. There's seven deadly sins, a council of wizards, you know, the Marvel family. There, you know, it's a sneakily large mythology within the kind of one character. And it delves into a little bit of it, but that sets a stage for so much more that it can do, like, in a sequel. And I think that's kind of where they're going with these DC films now, whereas instead of everything kind of like doing the Marvel model where everything like ties into a Justice League, they have a bunch of, like, sub-franchises, like, you know, Aquaman can, like, have a series of movies and trilogy or something. And, you know, Shazam sets up stuff, you know, for a Shazam 2. And, you know, there's so much more it can do there. And we still have Dwayne Johnson. Dwayne Johnson was supposed to be Black Adam in Shazam when he first signed up for it years and years ago. Shazam's been in the works probably for, like, at least a decade, ever since, you know, soon after probably Man of Steel, you know, came out. They were talking about Shazam movie. And Dwayne Johnson, you know, who knows if Dwayne Johnson's ever going to play Black Adam. But I think if it makes money and people really kind of like the vibe of this movie and the characters, you know, we're going to see Dwayne Johnson in, like, a Shazam 2. There was just a lot of questions about Shazam. Like you said, I think there's people really didn't understand this character or what the vibe was going to be. And it was like this big question mark because it's not Batman or Superman or even Aquaman, people, you know, as obscure as that guy is, people at least understood, like, okay, well, we understand what Aquaman is. Who the f- is Shazam, you know? But it's just like, you don't need to know who Shazam is. You have to watch the movie and kind of, it's more about the vibe of it. And then, you know, through the vibe and kind of the family friendly nature of it, then you get to know all the characters.
It's interesting. Like, I see weird parallels between the Marvel path and DC path with movies, where with Marvel, you started out with Spider-Man and the X-Men, and there were good movies and they did really well, but they didn't capture the kind of the pop culture, you know, vibe until you got to Avengers, which is, fair, unfair to say this, it was almost their B-team superheroes, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like DC's on a weirdly similar path where Batman and Superman stuff did pretty well and it was great. But now it feels like these kind of B-level heroes like Aquaman and a Shazam are doing really well and they're better. And it makes me wonder, could they develop something bigger out of not just Shazam, but then bringing in all the other heroes and not even bothering with Batman or Superman, or maybe even touching on them like way, way, way further down the road?
And look at Suicide Squad. I mean, I'm like the only person who likes Suicide Squad, but they found, you know, a fandom for a bunch of obscure supervillains. You know, that is a really obscure, very comic booky concept. But here's the thing with a lot of those kind of older heroes, you know, the Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, you know, there's so much history and baggage with these, with these guys that, like, you know, when you make a movie, you know, Uncle Ben's got to die. You got to have the great power comes great responsibility stuff. Bruce Wayne's parents have got to die for like dumpty time. They have to follow kind of like that template, and you're going there for the characters, and then the concept comes later. Whereas with something like Aquaman or Shazam, you come for the concept and then you get the characters, you know. And when filmmakers come, when they come in, they don't have to follow anything. There's a freedom where they can kind of like make their own movie. That's why Guardians of the Galaxy works so well, because James Gunn was just able to like, I'm going to do what I want. And I'm, you know, and something's going to be, it's going to be more authentic. It's going to be more original. It's going to appeal to more people when something's like that.
So how's the villain in this movie, by the way?
Okay. So, the DC films still kind of have a villain problem. He's fine.
Clearly, this is one of the things that needs to be improved.
He's fine. You know, going back to the underlying mythology of like Captain Marvel, it's, you know, kind of the whole thing is, you know, it must, he's got to be a champion to protect Earth against the seven deadly sins. Seven deadly sins are these monster things. And they kind of, they've given power to Dr. Thaddeus Savannah, who's played by Mark Strong. He's fine. I mean, it's pretty much, he's like evil Shazam. You know, it's just like, he's got all the same powers. And, you know, and he's got an interesting backstory that's, you know, kind of, we haven't had a villain with an interesting backstory like this, other than like maybe Killmonger. Not that good, but, you know, it's kind of cool, and it makes sense within the context of the story and everything. I won't get into the spoilers of it, but it sets up other things that could be better down the line in terms of villainy. So if we get to a Shazam 2, I think that, you know, there could be more interesting things. The seven deadly sins are kind of fun to watch, because they're kind of like, they feel like somebody like watched the, you know, the monster dogs from Ghostbusters, and like, we're like, I want to do that, but like, you know, a lot weirder. So it's kind of like they're, you know, there's seven monsters look all very different, but they kind of have that kind of like Gozer dog vibe.
So you mentioned Shazam is number two on your DC movie.
Yes.
Okay. Rank them all. Current run. Don't go all the way back to like Christopher Reeve stuff, but like this current run of DC films we've had. So maybe start with what, Man of Steel?
No, that's last. Man of Steel sucks.
No, I'm talking about starting the ranking for me. Oh. Like if that time frame, not necessarily where that you rank them, but.
So I think still the best is probably Wonder Woman in terms of like the current ones, and then Shazam, and then Suicide Squad, because I'm the only person who likes that. And then I believe Justice League, and then Aquaman after, no, Justice League, Aquaman, Batman v Superman, and then Man of Steel.
Okay, there we go. All right, let's move on to the other new upcoming DC movie, The Joker. We got a first taste of the trailer, getting a real feel for kind of what they're going to try to do with this movie. Let's start with first impressions. What was your first take on this whole thing?
I mean, I on the one hand, I like, it looks good. You know, it's like gritty and like kind of that 70s, 80s, you know, New York City vibe. And you know, it very much kind of gets to the like, well, what, I wonder what Joker was like before he put on some makeup. You know, it's just like, how messed up was that dude's life? And I think it kind of delves into that, you know, kind of, and it delves into a lot of the stuff from the comic books of like, because he doesn't really have like an origin story. There's a lot of like stories that he's told. It's just like, but you never really know if he's telling the truth or not. You know, kind of like, he was a stand-up comedian, he was like a party clown, you know, all this kind of stuff. But it all kind of delve, you know, they're like, they cut and paste a lot of things with this, you know, in the Joaquin Phoenix Arthur Fleck character. You know, he cares for his mom, he struggles for work, he likes comedy, and somehow he ends up in like clown makeup, and you know, he's the clown prince of crime and stuff. So it's interesting. They're kind of like going totally away from like the comic booky aspects and saying, okay, well, we're just going to make this, you know, as realistic as possible. I still don't know what it's supposed to be. There's like, in that one little thing, somebody mentions a guy in a mask. okay, well, so Batman, you know, so Batman exists in this weird Gotham. And he, you know, Arthur goes to Arkham State Hospital. I guess it's supposed to be Arkham Asylum. And, you know, so, and so there's a lot of like little things. It's like, there's a moment where he's almost trying to like beat Jack Nicholson's Joker from, you know, the Tim Burton Batman. And so I want to like it. I like the trailer. The trailer's kind of cool. I just don't understand what this movie's supposed to be, because it's just like, it's almost like somebody wanted to make like a really interesting, gritty super villain movie. And then it was like, okay, well, let's throw the Joker on it so people go watch it.
I'm torn. I am fascinated by it. Definitely. The theme that I got from it was the thing that his mom said was always, you know, put a smile on your face, mm-hmm. no matter what. And you have the juxtaposition of that, but the fact that his life seems like it really sucks.
Yeah.
Not just with things, you know, the things going around his life, like work and stuff like that, but just mentally, it seems like he's dealing with a lot of stuff. So that just that theme running through the whole course of the trailer. And it seems like this is someone that's going to be struggling to go back and forth with keeping that smile on your face, or just like leaning into whatever is going on in your brain right now.
Yeah, the descent into madness. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is really fascinating, and how that, you know, what I'm most interested in, though, is how much of this movie is leading up to him being the Joker versus how much of this movie is he's the Joker and he's doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they're leaning into more of taking you through the entire process up until he gets to be the Joker. How interesting that's going to be, I'm very curious about, because, you know, are we going to be sitting there going, oh, he was Joker for 10 minutes and then that's it and it wasn't really great? Or that's going to be a delicate balance. And I think that is going to, I think, honestly, what's going to make or break this movie, really.
Yeah. If people really love it. And, you know, it'll be interesting to kind of, you know, if this is really, really standalone, like if like nothing else connects to this thing at all, you know, this is like an Elseworlds story, you know, nothing, you know, this will never come back to it. Or if people love it so much, but we get it retconned to be like, oh, that one guy over there, that was Batman the whole time. He's been in this movie, you know. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how what they do to that, because, you know, if it makes a lot of money, people are going to, you know, they're going to want Joaquin Phoenix back as another Joker, you know, or is this supposed to hook into the Batman, you know, Matt Reeves's supposedly, you know, kind of like earlier set detective story that he's supposed to be working on. Is there a connection there? Because obviously this is happening in a, you know, a past period too. I don't know. Like you said, I think it's fascinating, but it's like, I don't know what to make of it in the grander, like, nerd aspect of everything.
Now, Joaquin Phoenix as Joker is promising.
Yes.
There are two scenes like this. There's a scene where he's grabbing the corners of his lips and lifting them up like a smile, and then there's a little kid where he does the same thing too. That was a little creepy.
Some people think that's Bruce Wayne.
Now, that's going to be really interesting, but
because Thomas Wayne is in the movie. It's the guy on the TV.
Yeah. Where I think, you know, this is my thing with Joaquin Phoenix is this. I feel like I'm not going to be sold on him as a Joker until I see the movie and I see him at peak Joker. Like leading up to it, I think it's going to be fine. But again, Heath Ledger has cast such a huge shadow on this character right now. And I think I need to see Joaquin in full blown Joker mode before I am sure. I've seen hints of it, and I think it's really got there's something there, but I'm not going to be totally sure until I get the full blown experience.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of Joaquin as Joker?
I think he's it's really good, and it's were this not called the Joker, were this called the Clown, and the Joker didn't exist. The Joker doesn't exist in our world. This is an alternate universe where, but, you know, Bob Kane and, or, you know, never came up with Batman or the Joker or anything. If this was like the Clown, and, you know, or that we didn't know anything about this would be awesome, Because it'd be like, okay, well, this guy has a serious love of clowns. He's crazy, descending to madness. You know, give it a best picture or something. The fact that it's called The Joker gives me pause, because it's just like, that's a weighty name you just put on this thing. It's a weighty character, like we just talked about. It comes with a lot of baggage.
A lot of expectation.
A lot of expectation. I think had this been like an original story about, you know, a clown loving dude who just goes nuts, like Taxi Driver, but like clown track Taxi Driver or something, I think it would be like an epic, like masterpiece. But I wonder, you know, putting all the, like the Batman stuff, having the Waynes in here, don't do that. I mean, if you're going to have something standalone, do it standalone. Make it like the Joker's the only thing from like DC. I mean, if you want to make a Gotham City, fine. But like, have it just be like one dude and everything revolves into it. Don't bring in a lot of comic book stuff. You know, the more comic book stuff you bring in, the more you're going to like, you know, make fandom upset, because, you know, you're going to pile on expectations on it.
Yeah, absolutely. So as far as the DC movie universe right now, because it's in a very interesting place. Do you like where it's going with Shazam, the way they're doing the Joker, even some of the more recent stuff like Aquaman? Do you like this direction now? Do you want something more straightforward? Do you want them to go back to kind of a variation of what they did with like Batman, Superman stuff?
No.
Where do you want them to go?
I want them to stay away from Batman.
Would you say the same for Superman? Should they get away from both? Part of me wants him to get away from both.
So here's the thing. So we know we talked about the 80th birthday the other week, and you know, now they've gone through all the like the, you know, Batman hashtag Batman 80 stuff. And it's just like so much of their stuff is on Batman. You have Gotham right now. It's like it's wrapping up, and it is bat crazy. But what they did was they took pieces of Batman and blew it up and be like, we're going to do our own thing, everything else. And that's what you got to do. On TV, that works. On TV, it works because you can do something like over a course of a lot of seasons, bring in like, you know, the comic book stuff and then just kind of do something really interesting. With the movie stuff, get away from Batman. Just get away from him for a while. James Gunn's Suicide Squad, I think, is going to rule. When they saw Suicide Squad, reviewers hated it other than me. But it made money. And people like the vibe of like just something kind of like a little bit off. And I think, or something different. And they parlayed that into Aquaman. And now I think they're going to parlay that into Shazam. Birds of Prey, Harley Quinn kind of spinoff movie. That's going to be its own vibe. You know, just like weird, you know, trippy girl gang vibe. And then I think you're going to have more of that, like the Joker. I don't think it's going to like tie into hopefully it's not going to tie into anything else, but it is kind of doing its own thing. And, you know, it's doing its own thing and not having to worry about the Justice League. I think if they keep doing that, keep doing stuff like that, I think they're in a good place, because I think they originally, they kind of wanted to be Marvel, and there was no way going to be Marvel. There's no way anybody, you know, Marvel's going to be Marvel. And people just got to understand that. I think you look at Universal, they wanted to do a dark universe. They wanted to have Universal Monsters kind of like, they wanted that to be like a Marvel franchise. No, stop it. Marvel's Marvel. Do your own thing. And I think DC's kind of understood that. And I think DC needs to understand that like, not everything has to be Bat something, even though that's like pretty much your main character.
I want them to embrace a little more of the weirder side a little bit. And I want them to dig in a little into the well of characters, because there are some characters that are weird and I think are interesting. The one that jumps out to me that, honestly, I wish they would have a movie out soon is Plastic Man. Plastic Man would be hilarious. Yeah. And it would be – that could be a really, really good movie if done right. And I think you have a roster of characters that have really gone under the radar that really work. I think, like you said, they're so focused on Batman and Superman stuff constantly – that they're almost ignoring. Like, one of the benefits to Marvel losing the Spider-Man X-Men rights was they had to dig into the well for other stuff. I almost think they need to operate like that, where it's like, we need to put Batman and Superman in the corner for a little bit and give some of these other characters that are a little weird and a little out there but are still kind of cool and interesting take a chance on them and see what happens, because you never know. I mean, look, I don't think anybody thought Avengers was going to blow up like it did, especially to these levels. So why not take a chance on some of these other guys that, you know, I think could be fun and different and could really potentially pay off in some form.
Well, and, the people who do the TV get it. Because, like, Arrow, no one knew who Green Arrow was. And look how popular that show got. And then you, off of that, you had Flash, and you have Supergirl, you have Legends of Tomorrow. And you built a franchise off of, like, some weird dude in a green hoodie that no one knew who that was.
Also, so, you have an Arrow of Harry Potter. How couldn't, like, Zatanna be someone that's a big Flash ship?
Totally. And I mean, and then you look at, like, the, you know, no one has DC Universe, but, you know, it's Titans is, like, a really weird, you know, kind of dark, kind of like young superhero show. You know, it pulls a little bit from Batman. You don't have to go full Batman. They have Batman. But it's just like, you know, you pull a little bit from kind of like the stuff people know. And then you launch a Doom Patrol spinoff of that. And Doom Patrol's freaking weird as and it's good. So it's like, I think they need to figure out, like, have that little bit that hooks you into everything else. And Shazam has that. There's a little bit of Superman's out there and people understand who Superman is. And, you know, you have that connection with the foster kid who loves Superman. You have one connection to, like, something people know, and then you kind of go and do your own thing off of it.
Yeah.
That's what they need to do with everything. And again, they tried it with Suicide Squad, but I don't think they were ready to let Suicide Squad be what it needed to be. I think they were so worried about it being kind of like this one thing and not letting the filmmakers be what it needed to be. Everything was kind of jumbled. I think Wonder Woman and everything else have been kind of like, just let the filmmakers go and do what they need to do. And it works.
Mm-hmm. Okay, listeners, it's your turn. We want to hear from you. Have you seen Shazam? Have you seen the Joker trailer? What do you think of Joaquin Phoenix? Let's talk about it on Twitter. You can find us at Mothership Pod, or you can tweet at us individually. I'm at BrettMolina23.
I'm at Brian Truitt.
Kelly's not with us this week. She's at KLAWLS. She is way deep in Game of Thrones stuff. I don't know if you guys have heard of that show, but it's kind of a big deal. So
we'll be talking about it soon.
Yeah, lots to talk about with Game of Thrones, friends. Don't forget, again, you can email us. We're at mothershippod@usatoday.com. We'll wrap it up here. Thanks so much for listening. Special thanks to our pilot/producers of the Mothership this week, Shannon Green and Natalie Boyd. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to The Mothership for free. While you're there, how about you leave us a rating or a review? It helps other people find the podcast. And hocus pocus, we get to say your name on next week's show. It's great. Everybody wins. If Apple Podcasts isn't your thing, you can find us on SoundCloud or Stitcher or pretty much any app that plays podcasts. You'll definitely find us. But that'll do it. Next week, I think we start the Game of Thrones fun.
I think so.
Oh boy, buckle up. Until then, nerds out.
Later.